Well, there were two missionaries that were in the African jungles, and they came out riding their bicycles, and they came right into a camp of cannibals. And the one cannibal said to the other, "Look what we have here, meals on wheels." Well, today I want to talk about one of the greatest missionaries in the history of the Catholic Church, St. Louis Marie de Montfort. St. Louis Marie de Montfort ushered in the great age of Our Lady, the great Marian age. He was born in 1673. He only lived to be 43 years old, dying in the year 1716. But after the life of Louis de Montfort, we see so much growth and devotion to our Blessed Mother. We know that Our Lady would appear at Rudebach and give the miraculous medal in 1830. The Church would define the Immaculate Conception in 1854. Our Lady would appear again at Lourdes in 1858, and then again at La Salette in France, and Our Lady, she would appear in Knock in Ireland in the late 1800s, and she would come to Fatima in 1917. She would come to Barang in Bano, Belgium in the 1930s. And of course, the great Marian movements would flourish. The Legion of Mary, 1921, the Knights of the Immaculata around the same time period with St. Maximilian Kolbe, the Schoenstatt movement. The Blue Army would appear in 1947. The Church would define the Assumption of Our Lady in 1950. The Vatican II, the Great Marian Council, Chapter 8 of Lumen Gentium, declaring Mary the Mother of the Church, one of the great Marian councils. And then, of course, the great John Paul II, Our Lady's Pope, who would do so much to promote St. Louis de Montfort's true devotion to Mary. Total consecration to Jesus through Mary. So in the conference today, I want to talk about first the life of St. Louis de Montfort, then his teachings and his spirituality. His name was St. Louis Grignon de Montfort. And he was the second of 18 children. Many of them, though, did not survive into adulthood. 10 died in infancy. But the ones that did survive, 3 became priests and 4 became nuns. He was baptized in the town of Montfort, and later on in life he would give up his family name of Grignon and take the name Louis of Montfort to remind people of the importance of baptism, because that's where he was baptized. And so he took this name Louis de Montfort. As a young boy, he was brilliant in his studies. He was very prayerful, very devout, and devoted to Our Lady, even from an early age. He had joined Our Lady's Sodality. He even taught children catechism at a young age. He had even a great zeal for souls, even as a young man. He felt called to the seminary. He entered the seminary of Saint-Sulpice. He would walk 700 miles to Paris to enter the seminary. He had been given a brand new suit of clothes to wear on his journey to the seminary. But when he came across a beggar, he switched clothes with the beggar. So when he showed up, he was in rags. He spent most of his time in the seminary reading books on Our Lord and the Blessed Mother. He read every book in the library on Our Lady. He had to pay his way through, work his way through seminary. And he did that by volunteering, working in the library, and then keeping vigil. When the priests would pass away, they would keep their bodies overnight in the church, and Louis de Montfort would stay up to keep vigil. And this is how he earned his way through this seminary. He was ordained a priest in the year 1700. And for the first few years of his life, he became a chaplain of a hospital. He worked in the poorhouses. He would preach in the slums. He would do evening devotions, rosary devotions, and processions in the very poor and dangerous areas in Paris and other parts of France. He would even go to different areas and have people bring all their bad books, any bad books or pictures, and he would have a bonfire and burn these terrible things. He would promote confession. Often he would be rejected by the townspeople or even by the local bishop. He'd have to move on. He had a great desire to save souls, and he thought perhaps God was calling him to go to the Far East or even to Canada. And so he decided to leave it up to the Pope. And so he walked 1,000 miles to Rome, and he met with the Pope. And the Pope saw obviously that he was a very saintly, a very holy man. And instead of sending him to Canada or the Far East, he said, I want you to go back to France. I want you to evangelize France and be a missionary in northeastern France and work among the Albigensian heretics. The Albigensians were those who were believing all sorts of terrible things. For example, the Albigensians were, even though St. Dominic had helped to end that heresy, many Albigensians still continued. They were very anti-life heresy. The other big problem was Jansenism. Jansenism in France was very rampant. Those who really denied the love of God and the mercy of God. And so to combat this, De Montfort would teach love of God and true devotion to our Blessed Mother and to Christ and the Sacred Heart. So the Pope gave him a very special title, a missionary apostolic, and commissioned him as his own sort of papal preacher to go around France. So De Montfort would spend the remainder of his life, only 16 years as a priest, giving over 200 missions throughout France. He would always travel on foot. He carried very few possessions with him. He would carry his Bible, his breviary, his rosary, a pocket knife so he could carve little statues of Our Lady. Everybody called him the kind Father De Montfort. So he would travel and give these parish missions. On even some occasions, he would go over to these islands that had not seen a priest in years. And on one occasion, he was almost attacked by pirates. But thanks be to God, through their prayers, the pirates went a different direction. So De Montfort would spend the remainder of his life giving these missions and writing books. He would write his most famous books. First of all, The Love of Eternal Wisdom. I hope all of you will have a chance to read that. It's the life of Christ and how to obtain union with Christ. And there's four main parts. Number one was desire. Two was prayer. Three was mortification. And four was true devotion to Our Lady. He said these are the four ways that we can possess Christ. Eternal wisdom, who has become incarnate wisdom. So desire, union with Christ, pray, practice mortification, and practice true devotion to Our Lady. And then he would take that last chapter of Love of Eternal Wisdom and he would expand it to his book, The True Devotion to Mary. How many of you have read True Devotion to Our Lady? Wonderful. He wrote this book probably around the year 1712. And then, though, after he died in 1716, his manuscript was lost. It was buried because of the persecution of the church in France. It was buried in a chest of old books. I believe it was buried out in the field. And then after the persecutions of the church, it was dug up and then placed in the library. It was not discovered for 126 years. De Montfort had predicted it, that the devil would try to destroy this book. Even when they found it, the first 80 pages had been ripped off. We don't even have the complete book, but what we do have has produced countless saints. I mentioned before that so many of the saints have read this book, The True Devotion, and practiced this total consecration to Jesus through Mary. There's a lot of evidence that Saint Therese, the little flower, practiced this devotion. Of course, Saint Maximilian Kolbe, this was his spirituality, and he founded the Knights of the Immaculata because of it. Frank Duff, servant of God Frank Duff, founder of the Legion of Mary, again, practiced this. It changed his life, reading the book, The True Devotion to Our Lady. Venerable Edel Quinn, the Legion missionary to Africa, servant of God Alfie Lamb, the missionary to South America, this was their spirituality. Matt Talbot, of course, the alcoholic who became a saint on his way to sainthood, was the true devotion that turned his life around. All the popes, from Pius IX to Pope Benedict, have read and studied the true devotion. Pius IX made the consecration. St. Pius X gave an apostolic blessing to anyone who would even read the book. He kept it as his bedside reading book. Pius XI, Pius XII, they all lived and made this consecration. Leo XIII, Benedict the 15th, John Paul the 2nd. And John Paul II said that reading the book, The True Devotion, was a turning point in his life. He had to read it a number of times, and after he finally understood it, it changed his life as well. And he would carry it in his back pocket. Whenever he would work in the salt mines, he would have it in his back pocket, and he would just open it up and read a page a day and meditate upon it. He said that book changed his life. Of course, Mother Teresa, that was her spirituality and the spirituality of her sisters. She always gets her sisters to make the De Montfort consecration around December 8th. We also know that all the Legion of Mary members in China, as I mentioned, somewhere between 4,000 and 40,000 active members of a Legion in communist China practice the true devotion to Mary. Father McGrath introduced it to them, and as you know, at least 4,000 were martyred, and maybe as many as 40,000 were martyred for their faith, and it was the true devotion to Our Lady that gave them that strength. But in more recent times, those who have lived and practiced this true devotion, Father Garrigou Lagrange, who was the professor of Pope John Paul II when he was a seminarian, Father Michael Scanlon, who turned Steubenville University around and made it the great beacon of light it is in our country, he practiced the true devotion. Right before he was ordained, he was struggling and he wasn't sure whether or not he could do that to get ordained. And somebody gave him the book, The True Devotion to Our Lady. After reading that, he knew he could go forward with his ordination. And he says in one of his talks I listened to him that it was the true devotion that dramatically helped him and changed his life. Louis Kazmierek, who took the Pilgrim Virgin statue around, lived and practiced the true devotion. Jerry Conacher and his wife Gwen, who's now up for servant of God, and the Apostle to Family Consecration, it was the true devotion that was their spirituality. Same with Mother Angelica. If you read Mother Angelica's book, it was the true devotion that affected her so deeply and helped her in her ministry. And then in the Legion of Mary, of course, Father Aidan McGrath, who died a couple years ago at the age of 95. Father Bradshaw, who died in Siberia as a missionary. Canon Francis Ripley, the great priest of England. They all lived and practiced the true devotion. So this was De Montfort's great book, The True Devotion to Mary, this total consecration. He also wrote The Secret of Mary. I'm sure many of you have read that, the little booklet, The Secret of Mary. And then the most powerful book ever written on the rosary, The Secret of the Rosary. I know some of you have read that. If you haven't read it, please read it. A seminarian friend of mine, he was a fallen away Catholic. Back when he was in high school, he read that book and it got him back to the Catholic faith. And then he entered the seminary. He's been a priest now for 15 years. De Montfort also wrote a book called, a booklet, Friends of the Cross. The idea of not rejecting the cross, but understanding the mystery of the cross. And De Montfort also wrote 24,000 verses of poetry during his lifetime as well. Well, he had many opponents. A number of times there were assassination attempts on his life. And 2 years before he died, he was visiting an area and they gave him some soup. It was poisoned. And he took a little bit. And unfortunately, it was a little bit too late. He ingested some of it. And eventually this led to his death 2 years later. So De Montfort was poisoned and survived 2 years after this. He died at the age of 43. Imagine that, so young. And 10,000 people attended the funeral of St. Louis de Montfort. He died in the year 1716. He was beatified in 1888, but then his cause sort of remained a little bit stagnant until the Legion of Mary was founded in 1921, and that promoted the true devotion and the life of St. Louis de Montfort all over the world. And then this brought about his canonization in 1947. And the statue of St. Louis de Montfort, which I'm showing you here in the picture, was placed in St. Peter's. And so it was really a great debt to the Legion of Mary that his cause began to be considered again. And God willing, we're hoping and praying that one day he'll be considered a doctor of the church. Wouldn't that be wonderful if he could become a doctor of the church. Well, what are the teachings of St. Louis de Montfort? Again, remember, he was combating the Albigensian heresy. He was combating Jansenism. So he promoted the love of God and how much God loves us and the mercy of God. He promoted devotion to the Sacred Heart of Christ. He promoted true and tender devotion to our Blessed Mother. He told everyone to renew their baptismal vows and promises. He said, when you were baptized, most of us were infants. And it was our parents and godparents that professed the faith on our behalf. But he says, you as adults need to renew your baptismal vows and promises. And he said, we can do this by making the consecration to Jesus through Mary. And that's how we renew our baptismal vows and promises. De Montfort teaches a Christ-centered Marian spirituality. It's focused on Christ. It's always to Jesus through Mary. And he said that just as Mary and the Holy Spirit brought Christ to the world 2,000 years ago, so Mary and the Holy Spirit will bring Christ to the world again. That's evangelization. The power of the Holy Spirit using our Blessed Mother to bring Christ to the world. And just as it was Our Lady's cooperation with the Holy Spirit that conceived Christ and allowed him to grow in Mary's womb and then give birth, so he says, entrust yourself to Mary and the Holy Spirit and allow them to form and mold you into the image and likeness of Christ, to give birth to Christ within your soul, to become Christ-like. So de Montfort's whole spirituality is focused upon us becoming more like Christ. And he says the best way to do this is to allow Mary to form us. The first one who ever consecrated himself to Mary was Jesus. He entrusted himself to Mary's womb for 9 months. So we too should consecrate ourselves to Our Lady and then try to have complete dependence and union with Our Lady. His consecration is called a total consecration to Jesus through Mary. Now the word consecrate means to set aside for a holy purpose. An altar is consecrated, the tabernacle is consecrated, the chalice is consecrated. It's set aside for a holy purpose. And so that's what we want to do. We want to be set aside for a holy purpose, to consecrate ourselves to Jesus through Mary. And again, allow Mary and the Holy Spirit to form Christ within us. Because remember, holiness is union with Christ. It's becoming Christ-like. The saints were holy because they were like Christ. De Montfort calls Mary the mold of God. She molded the Lord within her womb. Now, De Montfort says there are many ways to make a statue. You can have it sculptured. You can have it chiseled. But he says the easiest way is to put it into a mold. And so De Montfort says that the easiest, the quickest, the best way to become like Christ is to place yourself in Mary's care, to consecrate yourself to Our Lady and allow her and the Holy Spirit to mold you into the image of Christ. He says it's much easier than being chiseled or sculptured. Be molded by the Lord and the Holy Spirit and our Blessed Mother. So again, imitation of Christ. Total dependence on Our Lady. Imagine he spent 9 months in her womb and then 30 years living in her company. So he was formed, and we too are called to be formed into the image and likeness of Christ. So de Montfort says that we should first make the consecration. And he recommends a 33-day preparation. The first 12 days, we try to rid ourselves of the spirit of the world. How many of you have made the consecration to Our Lady? Good, most of you. So 12 days, ridding yourself of the spirit of the world. This is where you read the Beatitudes and the imitation of Christ. Then the next 7 days, growing in knowledge of self. The next 7, knowledge of Mary. And the next 7, knowledge of Christ. And then he says, pick a feast day of Our Lady. So pick a day and give yourself away. Pick a feast day. It could be March 25th. It could be December 8th. And then make a formal act of consecration. De Montfort recommends attending Mass. Then after communion, you will have written out the consecration, and then you make the consecration either privately or with a group. He recommends also going to confession before you make the consecration. And then you read the consecration, you sign it, and date it. Just this past March 25th, we had about 100 people from my parish prepared and made the De Montfort consecration. So after Mass, we prayed the rosary, sang some Marian hymns, and then we had a talk on the true devotion. Then after that, we each read the total consecration. And when we got to the point where we say our name, we pause and each person goes around in the pews and says their name individually. And then we continue the consecration as a group. But then after that, we have the people sign their consecration. I also sign it as a witness. And then they each have a rose or a flower and they go up and place it at the shrine of our Blessed Mother. That's a beautiful symbol. And then I bless them with the relic of St. Louis de Montfort. And it's a beautiful ceremony. We close with the hymn, and it's very, very nice. I hope you could all do that in your parishes as well. Well, when we make this consecration, what do we give to Jesus through Mary? Well, first, we give our past, our present, and our future. We give everything. We give everything materially that we have. We give it to Our Lady, who in turn gives it to Christ. But why should we go through Our Lady first? Well, it's because Our Lady then takes our lives and our prayers and she purifies it and then gives it to Christ. And it's a more pleasing gift to have it pass through the hands of Our Lady. In his book, De Montfort tells a story of a little peasant boy who had a gift for the king, and it was an apple. But the apple wasn't very attractive. It had some bruises on it. And so he gave it first to the queen. The queen took it back into the kitchen, took out a knife, peeled it, cleaned out the bad part of the apple, put it on a beautiful silver tray, and then gave it to the king. And it was a delicious gift. See, that's what Our Lady does with our prayers. She enhances them because they pass through her maternal hands. So we give everything first to Our Lady. Everything we have materially. You give your house, you give your car, you give your bank account, your money, your mutual funds, your, which could go up, they could go down. Remember, it's Our Lady's money, so you don't have to worry about it. You give your body, your health, any illnesses that you may have, any diseases you may have, you give that, arthritis or cancer, you give all that to Our Lady. You even give the kind of death that you'll experience one day. And you consecrate that to Our Lady. And then she gives it to Christ. So then you give everything spiritual to Our Lady. You give all of your prayers, your merits, your indulgences, your heart, mind, soul. You entrust all of this to Our Lady. Remember, Jesus was the first one who entrusted himself to Our Lady 2,000 years ago. He entrusted his body and soul into Mary's care for 9 months. All we're doing is imitating Christ. Jesus said to follow in my footsteps. Where's the first place the footsteps of Christ went? To the womb of the Virgin. And then, so we entrust everything to Our Lady. And then she gives us to Christ. It's called a holy slavery of love. That's why De Montfort recommends wearing a little bracelet or a chain on your wrist or around your neck. As you know, Matt Talbot wore a chain. We wear like a little bracelet or a chain to remind us of our total consecration to Jesus through Mary, a holy slavery of love. And De Montfort says that there's two different kinds of slaves. You have those that are forced into it. We, however, are willing slaves of love, servants of Jesus and Mary. We're subject then to Our Lady's good pleasure. We're subject to Christ's good pleasure. So once we make this consecration, we know we're totally belonging to Jesus and Mary. which is a wonderful thing to know that Our Lady will be present at our judgment because we belong to her. So when we come before Christ on Judgment Day, Mary will be there as well. You know why? Because we belong to her. We've entrusted ourselves to her. People then say, well, can I still pray for specific intentions? Can I still pray for the Pope and for the souls in purgatory? And the answer is yes. But it's always then subject to Our Lady's good pleasure. It's always subject to the intentions of Christ and the Blessed Mother. For example, if you're praying for the Pope or for the souls in purgatory, and the Lord and the Blessed Mother know that somebody else needs those prayers more, then you give them permission by your consecration to apply them to somebody else more in need. You may be praying for a soul in purgatory, they might already be in heaven. Well, Our Lady can then entrust those prayers to somebody else who's more in need. So the same thing in praying for specific intentions. Yes, you can still pray for specific intentions, but you know and you give Our Lady and the Lord permission to apply those to somebody else if it's more needed. So this is called a total consecration. Mind, heart, soul, past, present, future, your vocation. Everything is entrusted to Our Lady. It's called a total consecration. There was a story I heard once by a priest who said that there was this chicken and a pig on a farm. And the chicken asked the pig, oh, this farmer has been so good to us, let's cook him breakfast tomorrow morning. And the chicken said to the pig, I'll supply the eggs, and how about you supply the bacon? And the pig said, you know, I'm not sure about that. For you, it's a donation. For me, it's a total commitment. That's what the consecration is. In the consecration, we just don't give Our Lady an egg here, an egg there. We give her the bacon. Okay, you have to give her the bacon. Bring home the bacon. So you have to make it a total commitment. Your house, your car, your bank account, everything is entrusted to Our Lady. And then we try to live in union with our Blessed Mother. To do everything in, with, for, and through Mary, so we can do everything in, with, for, and through Christ. So the consecration obviously is an act, but it also has to be a state of union with Our Lady and a state of dependence upon Our Lady and our Lord. So after we make this consecration, we're called to then speak with Mary's words, think with Mary's mind, act with Mary's actions, to try to love with Mary's heart, hear with Mary's ears, to try to be a living copy of Mary so we can be swiftly formed into the living copy of Christ. We try to imitate Our Lady's virtues, her faith, her hope, her charity, her humility. In the Legion of Mary handbook, it lists the 10 principal virtues of Our Lady. All those wonderful virtues, her courage, her purity, her faith, her trust, her love. All these things we try to imitate of Our Lady. And then we try to take it even a little deeper. And we try to then receive Holy Communion as Our Lady would receive communion, as Our Lady did receive communion at the hand of St. John the Apostle. We try to attend Mass united to Our Lady, to try to be there at Mass as Our Lady stood at the foot of the cross, as Our Lady stood at Calvary. We try to participate in the Mass as our Blessed Mother did. We then make the Stations of the Cross as Our Lady made the Via Dolorosa 2,000 years ago. In fact, there's a beautiful tradition that it was Our Lady who sort of invented the Stations of the Cross, that after the Lord's death, people would see her walking the way of the cross, and Christians would sort of follow her as she paused at each point along the Via Dolorosa. And perhaps that was the origin of the way of the cross, that Our Lady would walk through those places where the Lord met Simeon, where he met the holy women, where he fell the first time, the second time, the third time. So Our Lady perhaps was the first one ever to make those stations. So we try to make the Stations of the Cross like our Blessed Mother did, and to receive communion as Our Lady did, and to imitate all of her virtues. So the same thing, for example, in your housework and doing the dishes, to do things as our Blessed Mother would do, to do the cooking, the cleaning, to do your work as the Blessed Mother would do. The Montfort recommends, again, wearing perhaps a little bracelet or a chain to remind you of your consecration, that you are the slave of Jesus in Mary. And then try to live in total dependence upon Our Lady, to complete trust. And as you know, after you make this consecration, did you know what? You're not allowed to worry about anything. See, isn't that good news? No worries. Just like when you go to Outback and they have that little saying, no worries. So you're not allowed to worry after you make the consecration. You have to trust. Jesus says, you know, worry is useless. What is needed is trust. Father Aidan McGrath, who was 3 years in the communist prison, said before he was arrested, he'd promise Our Lady he would never be uneasy about anything. See, the same thing with you. Just say, I'll never be uneasy about anything. I'll do anything the Lord and the Blessed Mother want me to do. This is really living out the trustful surrender. As you know, St. Claude de la Colombière and de Caussade wrote those beautiful books, Trustful Surrender and Abandonment to Divine Providence. This is living out that spirituality in a Christ-centered Marian way. Of course, if we're going to be truly dependent upon Our Lady and one with her, we have to become apostles. We have to be apostolic to care about the salvation of souls. Because Our Lady, first and foremost, is a spiritual mother. She wants souls to get to heaven. So if we're truly to be united to her, we have to care about the salvation of our brothers and sisters to become apostolic. So there's no true, really, devotion to Our Lady without being apostles, without being apostolic. Well, lastly, I wanted to just end with some very practical ways to live out this consecration. Number one is celebrate every year your baptismal day and your anniversary of your baptism, and encourage your children and your grandchildren to celebrate their baptismal anniversaries. As you know, this made a big difference in the life of Louis de Montfort. He even changed his name to recall the town in which he was baptized in. So that your baptism was the day you were consecrated to God. And I recommend that you celebrate every year, obviously not only your birthday, but celebrate your baptismal day and the baptismal days of your children and your grandchildren. Give them a little religious gift, a holy card, a picture Bible, a crucifix, a statue of Mary. Give them something religious every year on the anniversary of their baptism. In my first parish, I asked the children at one Mass on one particular Sunday, I said, next week, whoever can come back and tell me the day of your baptism, I'll give you a quarter. Okay? Well, of course, all the kids went home and they looked up their baptismal day. I did it on purpose so that they would find out the day they were baptized. And of course, I think a lot of the parents felt sorry for me. They thought I was going to lose a lot of money. So during that week, they all gave me rolls of quarters to give out to the children the following week. So the following week, hundreds of kids were lined up to tell me their baptismal date. And I still made about $20 on it. I had all these extra quarters left over. See, that's how it is with our Lord and the Blessed Mother. You know, if you're generous and do something like that, the Lord always provides. So recall the day of your baptism. I was baptized on March 25th, the Feast of the Annunciation, 9 days after I was born, which is unique also because my dad, when he was born, he'll be 80 next month. And it's an interesting story because my grandmother was a devout Catholic, even though she only had a sixth grade education, but she was a devout Catholic. And my grandfather, my dad's father, was not Catholic. He was anti-Catholic. He would not allow my dad to be baptized as a baby. So when my dad was 3 or 4 years old, my grandmother took him to the local Catholic church and explained the situation to the priest, and the priest baptized him. And years later, he was looking up his baptismal date, and it was March 25th as well, the Feast of the Annunciation. So he and I share the same baptismal date. So find out the day of your baptism and celebrate it, and celebrate your children and grandchildren's baptismal date as well. Number two, have an image of our Blessed Mother somewhere in your home, a beautiful icon or a painting or a statue of Our Lady in the home. Remember, John the Evangelist took Mary into his home. We're called to take Mary into our heart and into our home as well. So every Catholic home should have a beautiful image or statue of Our Lady somewhere in the home. See, de Montfort loved images of Our Lady. That's why he would always walk and carve little statues of Our Lady. And he would write beautiful poems and songs in honor of Our Lady. Number three, have a crucifix in your home. De Montfort loved the crucifix. On his deathbed, he gazed upon the crucifix. And Thomas Aquinas said he learned more from looking at the crucifix than reading countless books. De Montfort loved the crucifix. He would always carry it. When he traveled, he'd always preach holding the crucifix. The statue in St. Peter's has De Montfort holding the crucifix. So have the crucifix somewhere in your home, living room, dining room, and then meditate upon the crucifix, especially during the Lenten season. Number four, enthrone the Sacred Heart image in your home. Enthrone the image of the Sacred Heart. This promotes the reign of Christ. The whole purpose of the true devotion is to bring about the reign of Jesus through Mary. Christ is King. And where Christ is King, Mary is Queen. So we want to enthrone the image of the Sacred Heart in every home in America. That will be our goal, to have Jesus Christ reign as King of each home. It'll help focus your family upon trying to be like the Holy Family. It acknowledges that you want Jesus Christ as King and Lord of this home. And there are many promises and blessings for those who enthrone the Sacred Heart. Jesus says, I will bless every place where the image of my heart is exposed and honored. And there are countless blessings attached to the enthronement of the Sacred Heart in the home. Number five, pray the rosary every day, especially the family rosary, if at all possible. See, De Montfort would go around preaching the rosary. He said this is what would put an end to heresies like Jansenism and Albigensianism and others, because the rosary is pure prayer and such a great pro-life prayer in this day and age. Imagine that 50 times we pray, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. It's such a pro-life prayer. And then we say, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Did you know that's the only two times you ever need prayers? Is right now and at the hour of our death. You don't need it for yesterday. That's gone. You need God's grace right now and at the hour of our death. Every Hail Mary we say stores up treasure in heaven for us and gives us grace at our deathbed. Because Father Faber says that the deathbed is the final test. You have your Holy Guardian Angel, the Blessed Mother, Saint Joseph, the Lord on one side. And then, of course, that's when also the evil spirits will try to tempt people away from God. That's why you have to store up as many prayers for yourself at the hour of your death. So every time you pray the rosary 50 times, you're asking for grace for the hour of your death. Number six, make use of the Marian sacramentals. The miraculous medal, of course. Wear the medal, give it to your children and your grandchildren. And it's the medal of the Immaculate Conception. It's very powerful. And also the brown scapular. Make sure you wear the brown scapular. After this talk, I'll enroll all of you in the brown scapular. De Montfort loved the sacramentals of Our Lady, the rosary, and of course the brown scapular. The Miraculous Medal was not until 1830, but he loved things like the Sacred Heart badges and the brown scapulars. So get them blessed and be properly enrolled in these sacramentals. Number seven, read the true devotion, even a page a day. Do what Pope John Paul II did. And also Frank Duff recommended reading the true devotion a page a day. It's so deep, it's so profound that just reading a page a day and meditating upon it would be very helpful. And also form study groups to read the true devotion. I did this in my previous parishes. It would take about 3 years to read the true devotion. We met once a week and we read about 5 pages at a time, and then we carefully went through it and we studied it very carefully. Number 8, pick a day and give yourself away. Make and live the consecration. Prepare for the 33 days. Pick March 25th or December 8th or August 15th. Pick a major feast day of Our Lady and then make the consecration. Start 33 days before. And I would suggest, because after you make the consecration one time, you don't necessarily have to do all 33 days every single year, even though it's a beautiful thing to do and I would recommend it if you could, but you could actually reduce it to even a 3-day preparation before the major feast days of Our Lady. And then 1 day knowledge of self, 1 day knowledge of Mary, 1 day knowledge of Christ. So you could actually do a miniature 3-day preparation every time, or every feast day of Our Lady, or annually. The number 9, read the life of St. Louis Marie de Montfort. There are many wonderful books written about the life of Louis de Montfort. One of my favorites is Wisdom's Fool by Eddie Doherty. A wonderful book, Wisdom's Fool. So read the life of Louis de Montfort. There's a wonderful book for children by Mary Fabian Windeatt, and it's a wonderful book about the life of de Montfort for young people. But the collected works of de Montfort are now available, called God Alone and Jesus Living in Mary. The collected works and poems of Louis de Montfort are now available through Montfort Publications. So read his life. It's fascinating. This is a wonderful booklet. St. Louis de Montfort's very short biography of him. I'd recommend that one as well. And then lastly, number 10, live out your consecration by being part of the Legion of Mary. And, you know, it is something that, as you know, is not just an organization, but it can be a way of life, a way to live out your true devotion, consecration, to participate in Mary's motherhood. As you know, we believe that the Legion of Mary and organizations like the Legion are really are Mary's hands and feet in today's world. Mary's heart, Mary's soul is present among us, that we reproduce Mary's motherhood. We're Mary's spiritual presence in the world today. And just as Mary is a mother, so we also are called to mother souls and to mother the church, to bring back its fallen away members, to evangelize, to bring souls back to God. So we renew, of course, our daily consecration that we do each year. I am all yours, my queen, my mother, and all that I have is yours. So I encourage you to recite that prayer every single day. And when you wake up in the morning, you should kiss your brown scapular and say, Mary, use me today. Use me like a chess piece in your hand and move me where you want me to go. Bring souls into my life that I can touch, that I can reach, to bring closer to God. So kiss your brown scapular and then say, I am all yours, my queen, my mother, and all that I have is yours. And if you renew that every day, you can then be brought closer to the Lord and be used as a great apostle, as a great missionary in God's work for the salvation of souls. I'll give you a blessing now with the relic of St. Louis Marie de Montfort. Through the intercession of the great missionary, St. Louis Marie de Montfort, may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.